It is Friday morning. Good day, everybody. Welcome into the show. What a day. What a week. What a week in Major League Baseball. And I am sure that we will be talking about exactly that when Andrea gives us a call. We had to start a little later. There was a situation, I guess you could say, as far as Andrea is concerned. So she should be with us here at any moment. Just opened up the chat room, and we are going to go ahead and get started this morning. Welcome into the show. I am Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio. And, folks, let me tell you something. Major League Baseball has come down to some things. And before I even start talking, I want to wait until Andrea gets in here, because there has been some crazy stuff going on in Major League Baseball, without question. And I, that's the part I want to talk about it. As the postseason's first round is almost done, there's some stuff that are going on that is neat. Let's talk a little bit about Game 5, as the series between Baltimore and New York are tied 2-2. And the game tonight, make sure you get an opportunity to see that. That's going to be crazy. Baltimore and New York, that series division is tied. Let me check and see here if she's here. She's not here yet. So that series right there is tied. So that's a really huge thing. And some other over at the situation in the National League divisional series, the Washington Nationals and the St. Louis Cardinals. The Cardinals have evened this thing, or the Nationals have evened this thing up at 2. So now, you know, they were in a win or go home, and they win last night. Some crazy stuff last night. Going into the other American League, Game 5, Detroit and Oakland. Detroit wins the series by getting the win 6-0. Verlander was just out of sight in that game. San Francisco wins the division over Cincinnati, and that one was a little sad for me. San Francisco gets the win over there 6-4, and they wrap up that series as well. So that's what we got going on here. Let's see. We don't have her in yet, because I want to start talking about something that I think is amazing, and I think it deserves some notoriety, and for us to take a look at it. But this is wrapping up to be a very, very cool series this time. However, I think I have a little complaint, although I like it. So let me preface this part of the show by saying I like what Major League Baseball has done to bring in that playoff game. However, here's what I think. I think they ought to make it a 3-game series. And I say this because you can have 3, 5, and 7 going right into these playoffs. The thought of win and you're in is kind of cool. But I think I want to see the series. I think I'm excited about the series portion of this thing. I think one game and you win in and you get in is for one game. I think, you know, the last game of the season. I like that idea. But I don't like this. You win to get in to play one more game, and I think I've decided that. And I think I've heard someone say it. You know, and I didn't really quite understand it until I've been keeping track of these games this year and keeping track of the playoffs and what's going on. I like series baseball. I really do. That's why they call it the World Series. They don't call it the World Baseball Championship game. They call it the World Series for a reason, and I think they might have missed. I don't know. Maybe I might be wrong. I know it has created a lot of excitement in Major League Baseball. Don't get me wrong. I know that's there. But what I find interesting, okay, is that we get through the season playing series, and then it comes down to a game. I think it just kind of throws these off. A three-game set, a four-game set, a two-game set, whatever the case may be, through the season. And you have all the highs and lows of Major League Baseball during the season, without question. And you get great stories such as this. Take a listen.
Like cash being wasted on John Lackey, so are the days of our lives. Fenway Park Edition.
There does seem always to be a piece of melodrama floating around.
On the next episode of this soap opera.
You know, everyone's trying to get the manager fired.
But Bobby's not surprised.
Well, from what I gather, it's common, it's what happens here.
Larry picks a scapegoat.
The press has been brutal, to be sure.
And Tom Werner becomes delusional.
Every year we seem to run off a 9 or 10 game winning streak, so maybe this will be the start of something.
Josh Beckett continues to suck.
It's a work in progress, I guess. Still shitty results.
The players have secret meetings.
Source is inaccurate. He says that I was animated and one of the most vocal guys in the meeting, and that's false.
Will Carl Crawford's elbow fall off?
The elbow situation's kind of trending in the wrong way.
Will Bobby Valentine be fired?
I guess the decision will be made one way or another.
Find out on the next Days of Our Lives, Fenway Park Edition.
And you get that during the season, and I like that. I like that more than anything as far as Major League Baseball is concerned. But I do like it being a series. I don't like it being anything else but a series. So the one-game, quote-unquote, playoff game, and I think Andrea agrees with me on this part. To make it to the playoffs, to only play one game to make it into the playoffs doesn't very much make sense. You win a series to make it to the playoffs. I like the idea. So when you take a look at Major League Baseball and you take a look at some of the other things, it's really interesting. So, but let's do this. We're going to take a quick break. I want you to listen to some baseball math. Okay, and this is 3 minutes. By that time, Andrea should be there, and we'll be right back. Take a listen to this.
Hey, baseball fans, am I the only one who's totally confused by all the stats they keep inventing? I didn't think so. Baseball math used to be so simple. If you got 3 hits for every 10 at-bats, you were a 300 hitter, and you were good. If you drove in 100 runs a season, you were great. If you earned $10 million and were hurt, you were on the Mets. But there's a whole movement of statisticians today who are making baseball numbers confusing, convoluted, and needlessly complicated for a simple game. You shouldn't have to have a degree in string theory to figure out if a player's good or not. For example, they created something called OPS, which is on base plus slugging. And it took me 3 years to figure out what a good OPS was. And the minute I figured it out, they created OPS Plus. What do these numbers even mean? Matt Kemp has an OPS Plus of 193. Is that good? Should he see a doctor? This new baseball math can make you feel like you're living on a different planet. Suddenly 3 strikes and maybe you're not out. I got into an argument with a stat guy who actually said to me, runs are irrelevant.
What?
Well, they sure help you win a game. I hope my team has more irrelevant runs than the other team. This guy trashed Ichiro, saying all he does is get hits. What's he supposed to do, make pina coladas? What other obscure stats should I be checking? Should we be looking at his cholesterol score? Should we check his SATs? The thread count on his sheets, maybe? What about Ichiro's credit score? Why don't we check that? We used to have batting average, but then they created WARP. Why did you just make that up? That's a real stat. That's value over replacement player. But don't bother learning that. It's obsolete already. Now it's WAR. Wins above replacement. Look at baseball is a...
Okay, if we don't bring her in, I don't want her to leave. It's Andrea. Yeah, just really quick. So I wanted to bring her back in. Hey, I reviewed what happened a little bit yesterday as far as the games were concerned and everything. And plus, I kind of dig this song, so it's time to get started. You're in with Sports Over Coffee with Andrea and Couch. I changed the name on this episode. We'll try and just change it on the other ones. How are you doing this morning, Andrea?
Yeah, what up? We need some help trying to figure out what the name of our show, because, yeah, I don't know.
Sports
You're
over
in
coffee.
With Coffee and Andrea and Couch Potato today.
Yeah, Sports Over Coffee with Andrea and Couch is
Sports
what
over
I named
coffee.
It today.
Oh, who told me that... Cincinnati was going to kick the Nationals' ass once they...
I don't know. Maybe I think it was somebody by the name of Coffee. I'm not sure, but it might have been him.
No, it was Coffee. I don't hold back. I'll tell you anything you want to know. Cute.
Good morning. Good morning. So you got your wallet?
Dude, okay, hell. And then I got some crazy ad malware Trojan horse browser. This is the second time this has happened to me. I know something's wrong here. First, I get this fun mood, okay, and I can't get rid of it for the world. I finally get rid of that. Now I have this, it's even worse. It's called Claro, C-L-A-R-O, right? It comes up automatically. I go and type in that search engine or search bar, you know, into Google, and it's like, oh, yeah, they take over your browsers. Not just Firefox. I figured, okay, Firefox got taken over, hostage. But, no, I go to Internet Explorer.
Is that on your iPad?
There. I mean, crazy crap. So, anyway, I'm dealing with that. I got my iPad out. That's rolling for me. But, yeah, I found my wallet. I mean, I don't usually freak out when I lose stuff because I lose stuff all the time. And
me too.
I pretty much just deal with it because I know it's going to pop up somewhere, you know. And for the most part, I don't really need to lose my cool about it, because you just got to eventually just accept who you are, you know? It's not going to change. So, but this time, I was like, where in the hell could my wallet be? There's no possible way this wallet could be gone, right? So, anyway, I found it. But, yeah, we've all had those days. What about some baseball?
And,
what up?
Yeah, call me, and what I'll do is I'll call you after the show, and I'll try to help you get through your computer issues. I'm kind of pretty good at it, and we'll get your date reset, okay?
Oh, and by the way, just to let you know, so you can think about this. It won't let me restore my computer to a previous time because there's files are corrupted on my C disk drive, which is the main part of the computer, the hard disk. So every time I turn on my computer, it says, we need to check your files because for consistency. And then it says
there's
a
way around it. There's a way around it. I'll help you with that.
Okay, I love it. Thank you very much, Couch Potato.
We'll do that after the show. But
is there a way that I can get? Go ahead.
Huh?
Go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to talk about some Major League Baseball because I think there's something happened, not yesterday but the day before, that solidified a manager's job for the next 2 years in the pinstripes. What do you think? I mean, you want to talk coconuts? Coconuts.
Okay.
Big that are unbelievable. You sit your quote unquote star player down. You bring in Raul Jimenez. Not only does he hit you a home run, he comes into clutch later on in the game. I tell you right now, he is set for at least the next 2 years just with that move. And you got to ask yourself the question: if you are Alex Rodriguez, are you pissed off or are you happy? Man, oh man.
Well, okay, I mean, it's human nature to be feeling kind of crappy about it. I mean, here you are, the highest paid, the best contract in baseball ever. You know, you are a Hall of Famer for, you know, this guy is an all-star, always got, you know, the kudos and all this stuff. And then, I mean, I got to say, though, and you know, being here in New York, it's like I fell asleep early that night. The one freaking night out of 365 nights a year, I wanted to actually hear what these fools had to say when they called up the radio station because, you know, I mean, that was the most ballsiest, coolest.
It was.
Most freaking awesome call anybody's ever made in baseball. And, I've always liked Girardi, and I'm a huge Yankee hater, but I think that Girardi runs his team well, and I think they just give him crap all the time, micromanaging, da-da-da, why is he always doing this, why is he doing that? And it's just the way the New York media goes. So just not only the fact that here you are about ready, you know, he very well could, I mean, not him, but the Yankees, I don't think they have what it takes to, if they're going to make it, I want to see teams that are going to make it, you know, I just don't think the Yankees are going anywhere. And for him to do that, I mean, I don't think he did it because he was like, he had no choice but to make the riskiest move in baseball, you know, and maybe save his job. I'm pretty sure that Girardi's job has been pretty safe. I mean, it's the media that hounds him, but God damn, dude, are you kidding me? He calls out. He says Ibañez goes up to hit, man, and Ibañez hits that home run, and A-Rod did come on, and he basically said, you know, we win as a team, we lose as a team, and, you know, you got to give him a lot of credit.
Those wonderful political correct answers,
right.
I hate.
He did say the right things, but he didn't show any signs of, like, I have to say this. I mean, when you go home at night and you're that guy, A-Rod, you got to feel pretty shitty, you know? But on the other hand, and Lenny's like, I kind of feel sorry for him, you know? I really feel bad for him. I think the Yankees should give him a standing ovation. And I'm like, well, if the bitch strikes out three times again, I mean, nobody's going to give him a standing ovation, but I don't feel that sorry for him because he's kind of a jerk.
Yeah, and here's this, okay? His father passed away Saturday in his hometown back in I lived in a little town named Pekin, Illinois, which was right next to Peoria, Illinois, where his father passed away. Not only that, having the balls of steel to make that call.
I mean, who does that?
The fact that your father just passed away. God
almighty. Like, I mean, look at all the batters in the series, this, you know, all these games, five and stuff. This is all because there's nobody hitting. I mean, I'm like, the Nationals can't hit worth a shoot. I mean, then you look at the Yankee stats, they can't hit. Between A-Rod and Granderson last night, they were 1-for-9. They struck out like five times. You know, A-Rod got on base one time because he walked. But not only just the Yankees. I mean, even you got Adam Jones can't hit. Scott Rowland can't hit. You got Joey Votto can't hit. I mean, you know, nobody's hitting. So it's coming down to these tiny games,
pitchers,
you know, 1-to-1.
It's coming down,
to the pitchers. Oh, and let me just say one stat here, okay, before we move on. Oh,
sure.
God, I got to say, I mean, the Nationals, you know I'm going to have to roll on the Nationals for a minute.
Okay.
I mean,
of course.
It's the scariest, most exciting.
More than a minute.
I mean, I'm just so overwhelmed by the emotions that I feel. It's so crazy, dude. I'm out of control. I'm like,
you were
please.
Crying again last night.
I mean,
you?
No, I wasn't crying, but I want to cry when, you know, I want to cry sometimes when they get up there and I'm driving in my car and I just feel like that overwhelming feeling of just that happiness, you know, just come on, get a hit, please, get a hit. But, you know, everybody in the media wants to dog on the fact that Strasburg's not in it, and they're just waiting for the chance to blame this loss on somebody. And I just feel so proud of these boys for what they've done. The Nationals fans are so loud. If you get in your car and you listen on the radio, you have a much different experience than when you listen on TV. And I mean, I watch on TV, I got to go to the grocery store, I get in the car, and I'm like, I just drive past the grocery store because the Nationals fans, they make me cry. They're louder than the St. Louis fans, and that's saying something because St. Louis has some great fans. But these guys are out of control, out of their seats. They're screaming. They're happy. The Oakland fans, the same way, just crazy happy. The Nationals last night, okay, we got to give this. This is what's winning games right now is the pitching. But out of Jordan Zimmermann, Tyler Clippard, and Drew Storen, they pitched 3 innings. They had 0 hits, 0 runs, and 8 Ks. Out of 9 batters, they struck out 8 batters. That's the last
thing. Crazy good.
I was dreading the fact that Ross Detweiler was coming in to pitch, and I thought this is the exact reason why Strasburg is necessary, because Ross Detweiler cannot hang. I mean, I'm worried about it. I told you a couple weeks ago that only team that I'm concerned about is the St. Louis Cardinals, man. They came in and they took care of business, and they just keep hitting. They hit, and I'm scared to death that, you know, this is the game on the line and the series on the line, and here's Ross Detweiler rolling out, and I'm like, oh, crap. But I got to say, the guy pitched, you know, good, solid 5 innings, and 6 innings, actually. He only allowed 3 hits. Tonight it's Gio Gonzalez. And then, you know, I just want them to win so bad, but I am going to be just happy for them no matter what they do. They have come so far, and it's like, everybody's just waiting for the minute that they could just bitch about Steven Strasburg. I hear it today on the radio, and from somebody that I respect a ton. I mean, I couldn't even believe I was hearing this come out of his mouth. I mean, I listened to this guy to get me all pumped up before the show, you know? And he's like, Strasburg doesn't want to pitch. If Strasburg wanted to pitch, he would be out there saying, how come we haven't heard from Strasburg? Strasburg hasn't gotten the money yet, and he wants to know where his money is, and until he sees it, he's not going to pitch. What? He has been awfully quiet. There has been no interviews. There has been nothing. So I'm sure they're keeping him under wraps. They don't want him around the media at all right now. But
yeah.
Can anybody really justify them saying that Strasburg doesn't want to pitch? this guy's probably bawling his eyes out every night. And I just find it so horrible. I feel so bad for him because even if they do win, it's like, yeah, I got a World Series ring, but I wasn't there to make it happen when I could have been there to make it happen. And my question to you is this. I want to know if this kid is on the 25-man roster. He's not on the disabled list, right? He's still...
I'm not sure if they put him on the roster or not.
I don't know.
Is there
a chance in hell that he could actually, if they could just balls out, bring him out to pitch and be like, you know what? Strasburg, like having him warm up in secret just in case. Because I can't imagine a couple of innings ruining the kid's arm, dude, and I would do it so quick. Can you imagine the Nationals fans tonight and just what a wrench it would throw if he came out, like, after Gio Gonzalez and just started pitching in, like, the sixth inning?
Yeah, well, there you go. I don't know. I don't know if they did or not.
I mean, talk about some strategy.
Yeah, I don't know if they did or not.
Would they get more crap for doing that or for leaving him out?
This depends on what fan you're listening to or what person that you're listening to.
Oh, they're all on the same
page. There'll be a lot of people who say it was stupid because he hasn't pitched in, what, 3.5 weeks? And then there'll be a lot of people going, what, he was injured, he shouldn't have done it. They're worried about him in the first place. It's damned if you do, damned if you don't. But, you know, in reality, when you think about those kind of things, that the Nationals are just one of these teams that will be criticized regardless because of the fact. Okay, just straight out, they closed him. But here's when I look at the Strasburg thing, you know, they closed him down because of injury, not because of innings this time. And I say this too because I heard this because I heard he tweaked his arm, and that's when they shut him down immediately. They say, hold on, you came close to you tweaked your arm? Okay, that's enough. Now, that's saying something now. If that's what they want to put out for some people to believe, that we will never know.
I don't know why they didn't just say that shit from the beginning, man. Come on,
well,
man.
Well, yeah, that might be.
So if they have a PR rep, who's their PR lady?
You've got to give her a call.
She needs to be canned. Okay.
So, but I don't understand why they didn't do that. And all this talk at the beginning of the season just brought speculation and unneeded stress. Okay, first of all, on the team, okay, because they're the ones out there doing the nine innings, okay? And then you got the fans. Then you got something to bitch about. You got something to give the fans to bitch about.
I mean, from what I've seen, the fans aren't the ones bitching, man. They're crazy rooting for their team.
They're rooting. Don't get me wrong. They are rooting. The fans are rooting. But I'm going to tell you right now, I think the fans are not stupid, okay?
I think the fans would rather
have Steven Strasburg on the lineup. I'm going to tell you right now, that's what they think.
Of course. So would I, man. Instead of Ross Detweiler, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
freak.
Exactly. You know, by the way, you know, getting back to Girardi real quick, didn't he just say, take that, biatch?
He should have. But they lost last night again. And I just, what do you think? Let me give you a couple of stats for tonight's game in the Nationals, and we'll move on to the Orioles, the Yankees.
Cool.
You know, of course, I'm like, all right, they're going against Wainwright tonight. You know, it's kind of scary, but I got Gio on the mound, which I trust a ton. And, you know, it's kind of like just a repeat of game one. You know, game one was Gio against Wainwright. Well, Gio's 21-8. Wainwright's 14-13. What Wainwright has for him is that he's got a little more experience. Gio has a better ERA and, you know, like seven more wins. But the good thing for this is that, you know, Wainwright took control of the first game. But Wainwright, let's see, had 5 2/3 innings. He allowed one run and six hits. He walked three and struck out 10. And that came at home, though. He had a better success at home, 10-6. Then on the road, which he was 4-7, he was awful against the Nationals in Nationals Park. He lasted 2 2/3 innings in August, giving up 9 hits and 6 earned runs. He did play one game at Nationals Park on September 28th, where he went 6 innings and only gave up 1 run. But collectively, the current Nationals roster is hitting .262 in 164 career plate appearances. Hold on a minute. I want to see more about him against Wainwright. Wainwright's career rate stats in the postseason are stellar. He's got a .77 ERA and a .94 whip in 23 1/3 postseason innings. I don't know. The good news for Gonzalez is that the start happens at home. During the regular season, he had a 2.38 ERA versus a 3.31 ERA on the road. And his control, in 90 2/3 home innings, he walked 24 batters. In 113 road innings, he issued 59 walks. just Washington all the way, dude. It's going to be Washington all the way. I love it. Gonzalez has owned most of the Cardinals. As far as the individual matchups, Carlos Beltran is 0 for 8 against him. Alan Craig is 1 for 7. Matt Holliday, 0 for 5. On the other hand, John Jay is 2 for 4 with 2 walks. Still, the Cardinals roster has a career triple slash line of 130 batting average against Gio.
Yep. The only thing that I
is
look
at is Bryce Harper can hit
about,
the ball.
We're talking about pitching, right? You know, where pitching's beginning to take over. The one thing when I look at Adam Wainwright, 184 strikeouts this season. Okay, he damn near got to 200. This guy knows how to get him out by throwing the baseball more so than you know making it interesting by making him hit ground balls. You know,
how many Ks? Gio.
Megan?
How many Ks do you have?
Let me look. I got it right here.
Yeah, he's got more.
Gio right here. Gio Gonzalez, 200. Yep, he eclipsed the 200. I'm not saying that he's not good. Hold on. I wasn't making the comparison. I'm just saying that I just saw the number. Okay.
And
the
Wainwright,
numbers,
you know, this guy is stellar, too. Wainwright, there's nothing to be said bad about this guy. I mean, shoot, he's number one. He's got Tommy John. He's just about a year off of Tommy John, you know?
Yep.
They both have
picking him up in the first round next year in some fantasy leagues.
The advantage that the Nationals have is home field, and I think it's gonna play out in here. And I swear, man, if I was these fools in Washington, I would be having, I say Strasburg, what's your mindset? I would have been doing this last night. I would have been doing this yesterday morning. Okay, when the game was on the line. You ready to go out there and pitch? Okay, the fans want you. The Cardinals won't know what the hell to do if they see you walk out there. Everybody. I mean, can you imagine throwing a wrench in spokes?
Yep. Hey,
what
kind
of strategy than that?
All around, if you take a look at it, okay, these two pitchers that are going tonight through the season, Gonzalez has been the better pitcher this year, without question.
Yep.
I just want to know where the experience is as far as that part is concerned. We've seen Wainwright. He's been there. He's done that kind of stuff. I wonder how much do you think that's actually going to make a difference in tonight's game? This is a pressure game. This is game five.
Right. It's a pressure game. I trust Gio Gonzalez in a pressure situation. You know, Bryce Harper is not – look – Bryce Harper has been hitting horribly, but, you know, you can compare him to all the rest of the batters that are hitting horribly. The only thing I can say for that is that it just – that's what experience does for somebody, and that's when you show your age. You know, he's out there. He's trying so hard to hit it. You know, all he wants in his whole heart is to get the ball out of the park, and that's going to mess him up. So that kind of experience matters. And, yes, the Cardinals have a ton more experience than the Nationals, but
yeah. –
You know what? It comes down to one
thing. You
got to
get over that hump sometime, right, Andrea? I mean, sooner or later, you know, you just got to take that step.
That's why you just
step.
Get so happy when you see Adam LaRoche up there or Jason Worth. You're like, okay, buddies, I know you can do it. Show the young boys how to do it. Okay? Get it done. And Jason Worth got it done last night. I was like, there it goes. Oh, my God, there it goes. It's out of the park. Holy shit, I can't believe it. It was so exciting. It's so exciting. Adam Wainwright, Gio Gonzalez. I really think the Nationals can do it, but you know me. I'm a Nats fan. I'm the only one in the whole damn world, except for, what's the dude named? They interviewed a guy from Tampa Bay this morning on, Atlanta. He's from Atlanta. Shoot. Anyway, an Atlanta player was on MLB radio today.
Smoltz?
No. He's got a funny last name. Plays right field. Real good offense or defense. Not that good of batter. Anyway,
I'll
he came on. And he was saying that it's hard for him to root against the Nationals right now. They just have all this momentum going forward. And, you know, even though the Cardinals are that. And he also said it's hard to root against the Orioles. I mean, they've shown it all year long. It's not their pitching, and their hitting hasn't really come through. But the Yankees can't hit shit. At least the Orioles hit something, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. I'm looking at the roster. I'm trying to figure out who you're talking. Now you got me. You said right fielder, right? Is that what you said?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay,
yeah.
Outfielders. Constanza?
I'll find it for you. Let's talk about the Yankees Orioles. What do you think is going to happen tonight?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I love the Nationals, and I understand why you like them so much.
I know.
But a move, I'm telling you, that move to put Alex Rodriguez on there, that is that is something that I'm not going to ignore. Number one, you can't ignore the Yankees at any time going into the playoffs. It's just the way that kind of stuff works.
Right.
When you got a manager that's willing to do what it takes to win a baseball game, like put your man down, you know, put your superstar down. That's what it is. Jason Hayward is the right fielder, by the way.
Paul Yanish. Let's see, he's out. I guess he's a shortstop. Sorry, boys. Sorry, boys. He's not on my fantasy team. I have no clue.
Pastorecki? Pastorecki, right? Or
no, Paul Yanish.
Oh, okay. All right.
Look, he only had 167 at bats for Atlanta.
There you go. Okay.
Atlanta.
So he's not even on the roster.
He talked about the
right
infield
now,
fly
so.
That happened, you know? He talked about the infield fly.
When you go back to that move, you know, that's something that's huge that I can't even look at as far as that's concerned. So going through, I like what the Nationals can or want to do. I get that. But when I look at the Nationals tonight, I think the Nationals take it. I do. On the
you do?
Yeah, I think they do. But, you're really worried about this game tonight.
No, I'm not worried at all because, like I said, the boys are going to do what they're going to do, and I'm going to root for them all the way. And if they don't do it this year, there's next year, too. This team is not going to get any worse. They're going to get better. And, you know, I just dread hearing all the media want to blame it on somebody. Everybody wants to blame everything on somebody. But you don't win a World Series based on a pitcher. You don't win a World Series based on one hitter. You win a World Series based on a team effort. And I just want them to prove that so bad to the media because I can't stand their BS all the time about, like, you know, who's going to get blamed and who's not going to have a job next year. And it's like,
yeah, it's more pitching, though, right? I mean, come on, this is the playoffs, and you've already noticed going through there, the hitting has just kind of gone away.
And like I said before, man, there's nothing going to take away the Nationals' pitching rotation. They're better. They have the better pitching rotation of anybody, and not only that, they have the best bullpen in baseball.
Yeah, but they got to get on. They do got to get on base, especially.
They need some hits.
Yeah,
right.
They need to get. They need
it's kind of like football, you know. You always hear the same thing. What do the 49ers need to do tonight to win the game? Oh, they got to get the ball down the field. They got to make sure, you know, they got to pass rush. They got to do this. It's like
they need runners in scoring position. Forget first base. You need them on second and third base. That's what you need.
Right.
They need more of moving the players around on the base pads. You know, you can get singles all day long, but when there's a hit, you're not going to the chances of that hit bringing someone home is not a big deal. Once these players are in scoring position, it's balls to the wall. I'm telling you right now, even if it's even a slight bit close, they're going to take the chance and go home. I think that's going to be huge in that game. More so the Yankees. I think the Yankees are just the better team. I think they're going to get that win tonight. I think they're going to advance as well tonight. I love the fact that Baltimore has taken them to the brink, though. I love that story.
Oh, for real?
At the beginning of this season, and everybody would be lying if they pit, unless you're just some kind of crazy Baltimore Orioles, they're not there. They're not going to make the playoffs. They're not going to be there for the World Series. They're not going to be doing that kind of thing.
I don't know. I heard this morning that the Nationals can't possibly win the World Series, so don't even bother. And I don't agree with that. I think that the Baltimore has just as good of a chance, if not more, than the Yankees. The Yankees are god-awful right now. I mean, really, here you got – look, man, I mean, it says the Yankees lineup tonight, Derek Jeter at DH, A-Rod batting fifth, Raul Ibanez is on the bench. He's decided to drop him from third to fifth, A-Rod.
Absolutely, it's a great move.
Is pitching. You can't really give a lot of credit to the Baltimore Orioles pitching. Now, let me tell you, though, it's just like it changes momentum, man, when you can't hit. And if you can't hit off Joe Saunders, you know, it doesn't really matter what C.C. Sabathia does if you can't get on base.
That is absolutely true. And when the matchup tonight, you know, I don't know. You know, we can go through the stats and everything. I don't think it really matters in reality.
You let A-Rod play tonight? What are you going to do?
Absolutely. You let him play and you bat him fifth. That's the right move. That's why that's the reason why the Yankees are going to be there. He's not afraid to take that star player and say, you know, what the hell with you. And if you think Ibanez is going to be on the bench for very long tonight, I just don't see it.
He'll just put him in wherever. He's a total utility guy. You know,
think, frankly, why he's not starting is a question, but I'm not going to – after – see, right now you can't even question – no one should have enough balls to question Joe Girardi right now. And if you've got enough stones to question how he's going to run this baseball team tonight, you will be completely wrong. That move right there, whatever move he makes for the rest of the season, whether they win tonight, lose tonight, or go on into the World Series, you can't question what he has done, because that move alone – puts him in a league of his own, I guess, with using the old cliche. He knows what is best for that team right now, without question. At the beginning of this series, or the beginning of the playoffs, I was wondering, because they had been faltering. There's no question Joe Girardi knows the talent on this team. There's no question he knows when to make the decision, and that, like I said, that decision to sit him. That there's no question he knows exactly what's going on. So if and when they do lose this, whether it's tonight or in the World Series or wherever they will be, it won't be because of Joe Girardi, because he put the team in the best position to win at all times, and that's what he gets.
That's true. They'll find a way though here. Trust me. The rest of the country probably won't, but they will here.
Yeah.
You know, it's the first time in history that all four division series are going five games.
No, I didn't necessarily know that.
Yes,
I mean, we've had a lot of years of baseball. That's actually kind of
And then I got freaking John Heyman here, okay? Mr. John Heyman, what a freak. He's a freak of nature. Got to say.
And
see, I'm allowed to say that. I'm allowed to say that on Blog Talk Radio, okay?
You
I can talk about any freaking nature reporter ever. He always comes up with the wackiest crap. Now he's talking about all this, you know, Jason Worth and how much value he has, and now nobody gives him enough credit. But I remember John Heyman specifically talking about
what a crappy... He should have wrote that 3 months
crappy,
ago if he actually believed it.
He was one of the big forerunners on how crappy that, you know... Oh, I won't even go there. The contract, you know, and all that. But, So... We got San Francisco coming around. You couldn't have counted out San Francisco. They're a team, man, with some, you know, this is a team that is just like the St. Louis Cardinals. You can't count them out. They're just like the Yankees. They've been there before. They know how to win. And Buster Posey rolls out and gets a grand slam to win the game. Buster Posey.
And there's no other way of looking at that. I was a little disappointed. I wanted to see the Reds. I really did. I'll come out and say
it. What about Matt Latos, dude? He was signing autographs before the game, signing his name, and then right under that he put, "I hate San Francisco." That's what he was writing on autographs. I swear.
You gotta love
it. You know? And it was verified today again that he was doing that. Nobody really gets to understand why, but Matt Latos is like his own guy. I mean, Matt Latos, I like him. I think he's a good pitcher. I think he's got some spunk. When he first came up in San Diego, and he was like, "This guy's troublemaker. He's a troublemaker."
Absolutely.
And I'm just like, where do you get this? I mean, I haven't seen anything. I mean, when he pitches bad, he doesn't throw tantrums or anything. He's not like, you know, Zambrano out there or anything. But and I've never really seen that side come out. Last night he didn't do that well, but I like Matt Latos going forward. And, you know, I couldn't help but get a little grin when I hear, "Where's the real Joey Votto? Where's the real Joey Votto?" And I'm like, oh, finally, I guess, you know. I know I've accepted the fact that Joey Votto is stellar, okay? I've accepted it. Him and Eli Manning, we can all go and rest on that Andy didn't like either one of them. But, you know, that's funny.
Interesting thing. Detroit wins their series 3-2. The A's just weren't able to get the pitching that they wanted to, and it's really noticeable at the beginning of this playoffs how pitching is done. And Verlander is a freaking freak of nature. This guy is there's no question in my mind there who the Cy Young is in reality. I know there's a lot of good pitching over in the American League, but man, if you were allowed to use the postseason, for your voting and thinking, my gosh, this guy has just been, you know, lights out. I just love the guy. I think there's, you know,
has the Cy Young already been decided? Is that how it works?
They're supposed to.
I know they're not supposed to use it, but it's
kind
of like when you hear something in court and it's like, strike that off the record. Well, I can't really strike it off
strike
my
it out? Yep.
I already heard it, okay? You know?
Yep, exactly.
Strike it off the record doesn't really work. But, yeah, I know there's a lot of good pitching in the AL, but Verlander, yes, he's come around. I get a little annoyed because I'm not a fan of giving the Cy Young and the MVP to a pitcher. I think a Cy Young is for the pitcher and MVP is for an offensive guy.
I agree with you.
Offensive guy, because there's one out there, you know it.
Yep.
But, yeah, I think the Cy Young's already been decided, right? They've already decided it.
I just don't think they've announced it. I think it has been figured out who is the winner already. So yeah.
But they don't tell us.
No, they won't. I think they release all those right before the World Series, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong about that, but. Verlander 17-8, and the 8 is because those games that he lost, only maybe 2 of those 8 were his fault. After that, they just weren't getting any run support. This guy pitched 238 innings. How about
that? Verlander is unstoppable, too. In the postseason,
239 strikeouts this year.
How many complete games did he pitch? Do you have the stat there?
Complete games, I have six. Complete games, which is unheard of in this day and age of baseball, which is, you know, you're lucky to get two or three a year, if that, sometimes.
In two series starts, in the two postseason series starts this year, 16 innings pitched, one earned run, 22 Ks, dude, and 7 hits.
Ridiculously good. Ridiculously good. And it's going to be hard to beat these Tigers. And, you know, and then the question will be, you know, we're talking about the bats, you know, kind of cooling down a little bit. I worry about Detroit's bats. I mean, really, if you're the Yankees or Baltimore, whoever wins it, but I think it's Yankees, you got to be worried about the bats warming up because your pitching sucks. Either one of them, whether it's Baltimore or whether it's the New York Yankees, that lineup that they're going to have to face against the Detroit Tigers is a lineup that, if you walk into that one not worried about the hitters, you're gonna end up eating a lot of runs, I think. So, when you got a guy or guys, depending on who you're talking about, with whether it's Cabrera or Fielder, I mean, these guys can crack off a home run at any given time.
Yes, absolutely. And the Yankees, it's the same thing. I mean, you got Robinson Cano 2-for-18, A-Rod 2-for-16. Granderson went 0-for-5 yesterday. He's 1-for-16 with 9 Ks. Now, I mean, the only reason the Orioles are even still in this is because the Yankees have not shown up at offense. But you're right. At any given time, any one of these stellar athletes can pop off it. And, you know, they come down to this before. It's almost like it makes them better players when they get down to the wire like this. So we'll see what happens. But I got to say, I mean, out of all the years I've watched the Yankees come through, I think there's the least amount of camaraderie. I think there's the least amount of team. I'm not saying they don't get along or anything. I don't see the passion there right now. I see the frustration. I see, you know, the pitching is not that good. Tonight they're relying on CeCe, but, you know, you can bench A-Rod all day long.
Right, Andrea, this is game 5. This is the time where you put the guy that you paid the most money out on the mound to go out and win you a game, and this is where it is. Now, granted, he should be starting game 1 in the next one, but, hey, it's game 5. You throw your best player out there. And you know what reminds me? I want to go back to the 90s just really fast, okay?
Okay.
When the Arizona Diamondbacks were, I think it was 98 or 99, where, you know, in order for them to win the series, the World Series, they pull out Curt Schilling and Randy Johnson in relief appearances. That's how you win if you're going to do it. And, you got to pull out all the stops. You don't save a pitcher in case you win to get to the next level. And actually, in the Diamondbacks thing, it was the World Series. They brought him out because, hey, they had the offseason. Let's go for it. And they did, and they went for it. And those are the chances. Those are the kind of moves that I think are really cool. That's what these teams need to do this year, you know, tonight. You got to see bringing out pitchers that are normal starters. If you're behind it, you got to get in there to save your ass to get you to the next level. And sometimes the Yankees stay in a mindset that you got to hold off for the next guy for tomorrow. No, you bring in that guy to get the win so you can figure out how to win a 7-game series. So Yeah, I'm just hoping to see those kind of things tonight. I want to see what a manager or what a team is going to do in order to win. And when it comes down to a vital time, do you worry about a pitcher? Oh, he just pitched the other day. I hate that.
Oh, hell no.
It just pisses me off.
No, you don't have time to worry about a pitcher right now.
Yeah, well, you know.
That's why
you got to
put stress
right
in. I know.
Well, there you go. And that it was kind of I was glad that you led into that, because tonight could be the night. I don't know if Strasburg's sitting on the bench. Do you know if he's sitting on the bench?
Well, I'm going to find out in about 4 seconds after I tell you this little piece of advice. Not advice. I'm telling you a little piece of info that I just found. It's pretty interesting.
Nugget. You're going to give me a nugget.
Just a little nugget. Yeah. This is an ex-Phillies edition. Raul Ibanez, Jason Worth, Scott Rowland, and Shane Victorino. He says, I was wondering last night how it felt for the Phillies fans to see Raul Ibanez play hero on Wednesday, and then 20 hours later, see Jason Worth play the hero for the Nats. If Scott Rowland had gone yard instead of striking out to the end of the Giants-Reds game, it may have been pandemonium. And I wonder if it's too late for the Yankees to get Shane Victorino to replace Granderson tonight. That's just kind of cute.
Coffee informed us about, just by the way, as far as the awards are concerned, he informed us that the award ballots have been in and before the playoffs started. So whatever they do tonight won't influence. I don't know why they haven't announced it, but I think he's right. But take away from
what
that.
Who is this?
Coffee informed us.
Hey, Coffee, what up?
Yeah, she's having computer issues. She didn't necessarily know you were there, and normally we don't have a lot of people there. He says Latos is like Beckett, though. He looks like he doesn't care.
He does care, but he's kind of funny, dude. He has kind of got that funny attitude. I'm surprised Coffee doesn't like him
like,
more.
Kind of like Jay Cutler in the NFL. The guy never looks like he's happy. He never looks like he cares.
Right?
Tony Romo.
Tony Romo. We all care. We have brain damage.
Yep.
Let's see.
Oh, how about last night? Hold on, just really quick before I forget. Tennessee beats the Steelers last night in Thursday night football.
It just says innings limit, dude. It doesn't say anything about him being on the DL. It doesn't say that. I gotta find out.
I'm gonna do a quick search here. I'm gonna put in Nationals
active roster
playoff. Yeah, playoff roster. For 2012. Yeah, it'll be interesting to find out what that is.
They get some extra spots, right, when they go into the playoffs. They get a couple extra. Do they just still have 25?
I'm not sure. That's what I'm gonna check out really quick. Here we go. 40, the rosters.
40 man.
Yeah, it's a 40. It's a 40 man. I know it's a 40 man team.
Here we go.
Right?
Active. Bam. He's not on the active.
Is he on it?
It doesn't show him on the active.
So there you go. He's probably not there then.
Doesn't show him on the active, dude.
So they can't pull him out
40
there.
40 man.
You have
but that's only the 25 man. If he's on the 40 man, he could be. Can he play if he's on the 40 man?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think you have to have a solid 25. And I say that also because Junior Spivey from that Arizona Diamondbacks championship. I know Junior Spivey, by the way, and he's a very cool guy. I might have him on the show one morning. He's very knowledgeable, very smart.
He's on the 40 man, but not on active.
Yeah, you have to be active in order to play, because if you're not on the active roster, they can't put you in. So unless, okay. I think it has to be solidified. I don't think he can change it. I think that roster had to be set before this series started. So I think that's what that situation is, if I'm not mistaken.
All right. Well, I'm just going to keep typing around here.
Yeah, see what we can find out and stuff like that. Coffee,
yeah.
if you're educated in that position, here we go. Strasburg could replace someone if they get hurt. So you only get 25 in the playoffs.
Oh, we can make that up any day.
And Strasburg is not active.
Player roster eligibility rules explained.
Gotta love it.
It says, yeah, I hope Coffee's right. I don't know. It's just kind of interesting. Let's see. Yeah, we can just keep talking to you because I could do all this.
Oh, okay. Very good. I thought you were right there. But lots of other stuff. While she's looking that up, last night the Tennessee Titans pulled off the Matt Hasselbeck is not the quarterback that he used to be. As a matter of fact, he actually even kind of sucked last night. He got the job done beating the Pittsburgh Steelers at home, though. They were in Tennessee. They get the win. I forgot to get my pick in, so everybody else picked Pittsburgh, so I got lucky. I would have picked Pittsburgh, too, so I guess it doesn't matter. But at least I don't lose a point behind. But I saw the end of that game because I was writing articles last night, and my father said, "You didn't put the pick in." I was like, "Oh, crap." And I went and watched the last 4 minutes of that game, boy. And I want to tell you right now, in that 4 minutes of that game last night, you saw a kicker miss a field goal by literally a yard, or possibly half a yard, might have dinked in from the Steelers kicker, and then Tennessee Titans get the win with a kick with no seconds left on the clock. They win by 3 last night. So just quick update on the NFL and what's going on here, and go from there. Did you find anything?
To be eligible for a team's playoff roster, a player must be on any of the following: A, the 25-man active roster, no; B, the disabled list, no; C, the bereavement list, no; or D, the suspended list as of August 31st at midnight. The only exception is that a player who is on the disabled list at the end of the regular season may be replaced on the postseason roster by any other player who was in the organization on August 31st.
Doesn't sound like he qualifies under
any
of those.
Not really. They would really have to pull some strings, dude.
Yeah. So, I'm not, let's see here.
Did you find anything?
Yep. I'm trying to think if I remember anything that could be brought back, and I just can't remember anything that has happened in the past in baseball that we can compare it to. So I can't remember, at least off the top of my head. So, but of course, if we had a little more time,
I'll
to
just keep
that
looking until
it,
I find
we'll
what
find
I want. Because you know what, if you look long enough, you'll find what you want.
Well, you yeah.
You'll find what you want to hear.
Depending on what website that you're on, you can find anything about anything to make your argument look good. That's the way I. That's why you gotta love the internet. So. So I'll keep talking. You let me interrupt me when you know, okay?
Okay. Some
games tonight. Games this weekend in the NFL. We'll keep it with the NFL until she finds that.
Yeah.
Oakland is taking on Atlanta. A game to keep your eye on is Dallas and Baltimore. So that's a big game this weekend for the Dallas Cowboys because they are in a stretch where they got a six game stretch that started with the Chicago Bears 2 weeks ago before they were on the bye. So watch for that one. This is another game that they got to watch. We'll find out how bad they really are. Cincinnati and Cleveland, it's a divisional game. You can't say that the Cleveland Browns are going to win the game. You can't say they're going to lose it. You can only say it's going to be smash mouth football. St. Louis and Miami, I love what the Rams are doing this year. I love what the Dolphins are doing. That's going to be an intriguing game to watch. Watch this weekend as well. Indianapolis and the Jets. You know, the Jets are bad, but if you lose to Indianapolis, you might as well start writing some termination papers for some people in the coaching staff for the New York Jets. Detroit and Philadelphia is going to be smash mouth football. It's going to be good stuff. Kansas City and Tampa Bay in the bottom pit bowl, as I call it. They're horrible football teams. So we'll find out which one of the horrible football teams is just a tad bit better. Arizona takes on Buffalo at home. Is Buffalo for real? Is Arizona for real? Is it for real? Bowl is going to be happening in Arizona. And then Seattle takes on New England. Remember, Seattle knocked off the Saints 2 years ago in the playoffs. They can win big games at home. They get New England. We got to find out if the Seahawks are for real. I doubt it. The Giants take on San Francisco. They're flying cross country to go to San Francisco. Has the light switch been flipped for the Giants? We'll find out against, the, in my personal opinion, the best team in the NFL, that being the San Francisco 49ers. Minnesota takes on Washington this weekend. Minnesota, a surprising record, sitting on top of their division while Washington sits on the bottom of their division. Washington, are they as good as they are with their RG3 pickup in the draft? That's going to be the huge question as well. Green Bay takes on Houston, probably the marquee game of the week. That's going to be on Sunday Night Football. Green Bay visits Houston. Houston off to the first time in their franchise history, 5-0. Green Bay, you know, suffered some losses and then the referee screwing on a Monday Night Football game. Is it going to affect this team? I don't think so. But, wow, that's going to be a huge game. And then Denver and San Diego on Monday Night Football. Peyton Manning takes a quick trip over to San Diego. And San Diego is surprising a lot of teams this year, and surprising a lot of writers as well. Although they take the loss last week, they're still up on top in their division. So that's just a quick, brief look at what's going on in the NFL this weekend. Did you find
it? Are you here? Are you here?
I am here.
Okay, I had you on mute because I didn't want you to hear the lawnmower in the back.
Oh, okay. That's
okay,
all right.
So
go
from
for
what
it.
I'm reading here, this was written on the 24th of August, but basically it talks about the Nationals and who's eligible for the postseason roster. It says that, you know, you probably heard plenty of times that the postseason rosters must be set by August 31st, but that's not entirely true. The only thing that must be set by the end of the month is the pool of players who are eligible to appear in the postseason. And even that, there's still exceptions. The only real significance of the August 31st deadline is that it marks the final day in which a player can be acquired from another organization and be eligible to participate in the postseason. So the Nationals can't trade for somebody on September 1st and use them in October. But basically, anybody on the 25-man roster on August 31st is eligible. That makes this Nationals' initial pool of roster candidates, and Strasburg is on there. This was August 25th, but he was still eligible in September, right? He was still pitching in September.
I don't know. I thought his last pitching was in August. Let me find out. I can find that out.
If a player is in the organization on August 31st and is still there at the end of the regular season, he's eligible for the playoffs. September call-ups, it's to keep the September call-ups. They can be used in the postseason. That's only, though, if somebody gets hurt. That's what you hear about. If somebody gets hurt, they can bring up a minor leaguer, but there's 31 eligible players that were on the active roster in towards the end of August. So
they can't bring him back.
If he pitched in one time in September, I would assume they could.
Okay, no, he can't come back. At least according to this article that I'm looking at, it says Nationals might regret the strategy with Steven Strasburg. They're not going to be able to bring him back.
If he was on the 25-man roster on August 31st?
See, Steven Strasburg missed none of his 28 turns, Washington, rotation, blah, blah, blah. Let's see here. Strasburg could have made a difference, blah, blah, blah. I'm trying to find out where he stands and what he's calling on this is. Let's see here. Basically what this article is saying that if instead of maybe just skipping him a turn or two for maintenance, then he could have been eligible. But it looks like what this guy is saying that he is not eligible.
No, he's not eligible. Now I'm reading. Now this was a more recent article, and this is on the Nats. You know.
Yeah, he's
Nats
not eligible. Better. Okay, here it is.
They had to submit it on game one, and he wasn't on the 25-man roster. So.
Yep, he can't. They can't bring him up, and that's what they should have. What this guy is saying is the strategy should have been is having missed a few of his starts, so he could have been on that active roster for the 25 man off, are eligible for the 25 man, and they didn't. They closed him down. So that's what the situation is there. So
they only have four starting pitchers.
So.
Crazy.
Yep, and that's the way that rolls. Okay, well, we got 90 seconds. Anything you want to cover before we're out of here? Because I got to get to work.
We're going
to
see some more baseball tonight, and I'll talk to you on Monday.
Yep, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about the first round being all completely done with the Washington, whether it's going to be the Nationals or the
Go
Orioles.
Boys. Go Orioles versus Nationals in the World Series.
Well, that's some of the talk as well. Yes, it's
got to be up there somewhere, right?
Yeah, it could be. It could be a possibility, as well as the Orioles and Yankees. We'll find out who made it in there, and we'll talk about it on Monday. Everybody, have yourself a wonderful weekend. And for Andre, I'm Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio, and we're out of here. Have a good one, my friend.